Let's open up to Luke chapter 1. Lord, thank you so much for the life of Jesse, Lord, and how you placed him in Jinja for 17 years, serving your people there, Lord. Leaving behind an incredible testimony of your love and service to you, Lord. So as the church in Jinja and all of us mourn and grieve, Lord, we also rejoice in the good things in the lives that you've touched through him. And we pray for comfort and strength for Beverly, his widow, and his children and grandchildren, oh God. I pray that may just pour down your comfort and strength through this time. And Lord, with that, we also remember that our life is fragile. The next day we may be gone. Lord, we had better be fulfilling that which you've called us to fulfill here, Lord. So just help us be fruitful in the days of our lives. But as we open up your word, we also open up our hearts to receive from you, Lord, to receive teaching, to receive strength, and to receive wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 1, we'll pick up from verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb with joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all the generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." We began off seeing that Christmas is a miracle. God shows up to do the supernatural. After hundreds of years of silence, God tells the Israelites and us that he hadn't forgotten, and that his hand is not any weaker. He was still powerful. Two miracles. Elizabeth is pregnant and Mary is pregnant. Miracle babies, John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. So the miraculous has happened. We also saw last week how God, at Christmas time, the first Christmas, was a display of his faithfulness. He promised, right from the days of Abraham, that a Savior would come, and the Savior came. And God is faithful to each one of us. Even when we are unfaithful, we saw that. Today we see that there is rejoicing in Mary's heart when she was expecting Jesus Christ. She goes off to visit Elizabeth, and as they greeted each other, the baby, John the Baptist, was somersaulting in her womb. The Bible describes here that she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the baby was leaping for joy. Can you imagine? It's only mothers who understand this. Expecting mothers. Some assaulting in your womb, kicking. The baby is happy. Looks like John the Baptist was excited about the salvation that was coming. Maybe about the announcement that he would make to the Israelites. Here is he who is the Savior. Elizabeth tells Mary how she's blessed and honored and privileged to be the mother of her Savior, and she would actually visit her. Blessed is she who believed. And there will be a fulfillment of these things which were told, which were told her from the Lord. And this is Mary's response. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Mary's response to the coming Savior is one of rejoicing. He says, I rejoice in God, my Savior. A lot of things happen around Christmas time, as you're already aware. There are parties, events. Some people take journeys. You probably know that some people are missing from church. They've gone off the countryside. Obviously, food. I feel for those who are going to be cooking. Gifts, exchange of gifts, Christmas cards, decorations. Interestingly, none of those were present when Mary was expecting the baby, even when the baby was born. There's only one thing that happened: rejoicing. They had longed for a Savior, for a Redeemer, as God had promised. Sin had done as much damage as possible to humanity. And the announcement and the fact of the coming Savior resulted in Mary just breaking out in song. This is the first Christmas carol ever. And she says, you know what, I just rejoice in God my Savior. I'm just happy my Savior is coming, the Savior of the world. She's rejoicing in God's goodness. See how she says, God has been good to me. He's been great. He's done great things for me. He rejoices in God's faithfulness. He rejoices in God's power. It's interesting, she remembers the promise that was made to Abraham in the last verse there, verse 55, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. This is the first promise was made actually to Abraham. And every Jewish girl and boy would be taught the first five books of the Bible. They'd be familiar with the story of creation, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers. They'd be particularly familiar with the promise that God made to Abraham, that through him, through his seed, generations would be blessed. And here it is. Mary is looking back to God's promises thousands of years back, and she's the one carrying the baby. She just rejoices. There are those who choose to rejoice in the food, rejoice in the gatherings, the reunions that happen around Christmas time, family reunions, camps and holidays and trips and journeys. If we just look at those things and fail and forget to rejoice in God our Savior, you know that the day after Christmas you're feeling, is that all? After you've ate all the food, you've unwrapped all the gifts, you've gone for your trip, the camp is over, the holiday is over, the trip is over. Don't you feel like, is that all? And then sometimes we obviously think about making the next Christmas more exciting, right? Next Christmas, let's go whitewater rafting. Let's do something a lot more exciting. Let's go far off. But all that leaves us completely empty and unsatisfied. The gifts will be old soon. The clothes, worn. The food is finished. You're hungry again on Boxing Day. You're actually broke after Christmas, right? You've blown all the money. And by 31st December, the landlord is demanding for his rent. If we fail to rejoice in God our Savior, we've missed Christmas. And as we think about all the good events, all the happiness that happens around Christmas, there are those who actually are going to have it a little more different. Probably they're going to be sick at the family, the Christian family in Ginger's mourning. It's grieving. And we can say, well, oh, this Christmas wasn't very good. Just lost somebody, I was sick, I did not do this, I did not go there, I don't have any decorations. Oh, next Christmas should be better. Outside rejoicing in Jesus Christ, there is no Christmas. All is empty. All is nothing. Comes to an end. It's only rejoicing in Jesus that actually lasts. Whether it's going to be a mourning season, I remember some Christmas, I lost my grandmother. She kind of ruined the happiness of the day. Some people are going to be working around Christmas. The police, right? They're trying to keep us safe. You know that crime actually goes up around this time as the criminals are also looking for ways to rejoice. They want to rejoice in your belongings. Some people are going to be lonely. You're the only one staying home to keep the house. And we Christians know better, don't we? It's not just everything else around Christmas that excites us. The coming of our Savior. If everything went wrong, we should not be saying, oh, at Christmas, we can do better next year. No. We rejoice in God our Savior. We gathered, we sang, Mary sings. We're going to gather on Wednesday and sing. And as Mary sings this song, many songs have been written, Christmas carols, that just exalt our Savior, that just helps us reflect to His coming, that helps us to just rejoice. Coming of our Savior. We can gather and sing about His faithfulness, His power, His goodness, His favors. Even if it hasn't been a good year, even if our plans haven't come to pass, the dreams that we had at the beginning have failed, Jesus remains the same and He is here for us to enjoy. We can still rejoice. Paul writing to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, He says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, Paul is writing really about suffering. He's actually writing from prison. And in his book about suffering is the most call and encouragement for Christians to rejoice. He says, have no confidence in everything else. Parties or events or whatever is happening, just rejoice in Jesus. Jesus is the reason of the season. You know that. Gather around and tell the Christmas story to the children and read it together and sing Christmas carols. We talk about God's faithfulness and goodness and power through there. Enjoy Him every day of the year, not just at Christmas. If we have confidence in everything else, apart from Jesus, on Boxing Day we'll wake up and it will be just dry and empty. We don't even have to wait for the next year's plans to come to pass to rejoice. Rejoice every day. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, same book. You know this verse, don't you? You can read it out loud together. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say, can't hear. Let's read it. Let's do better, right? Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say, rejoice. Somebody say to rejoice is to be filled with joy again and again. Not just once, not just twice. Over and over again. It's to be exceedingly glad. We're going to see on Christmas Day when the shepherds came and saw Jesus was born. You know what happened? They went out dancing and glorifying God and praising the Lord. Just rejoicing. The Savior is here. Is to take delight in. Where is your delight? Where is your happiness? To be very happy, to revel, to celebrate, to enjoy, to glory, to joy, to triumph, to be glad, to be overjoyed, to jump for joy, to make merry. Our hearts should be leaping for joy because our Savior is here. We rejoice in our salvation. Mary was rejoicing because the Savior was coming. For us, rejoice because the Savior came. And because we have Him. We have Him in our hearts. And maybe there is somebody here, or some people who have known Jesus Christ. That's the very reason for Christmas. Let everything pass by. Let not you pass by Jesus. You can ask Him into your life. And He will bring rejoicing to your heart, regardless of what happens around this season. I have memories around Christmas when I was a child. You know, it's a time to have a gift. In fact, at Christmas time, you're asking your parents, where's my Christmas gift? And we are raised and accustomed to just gifts. Christmas, what are you doing this Christmas? Have people ask you that? What are you doing around this time? Where are you going? What exciting thing are you doing? And we grow up just to know Christmas is an exciting time. It's just a season, a holiday season. Christmas cards, holiday greetings, seasonal greetings. Santa Claus. It's none of those. It's rejoicing in our Savior Jesus Christ. And some things just come to complement what the substance is. It's Jesus. And if we don't rejoice in God our Savior, Christmas is going to leave us empty, completely unfulfilled. And we should be teaching our children Christmas is about Jesus Christ, not just gifts, not just decorations, not Christmas trees. Those are the minors. The major is Jesus. So we can rejoice always. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul just writes two words to this church in this verse. He tells them, rejoice always. If there are people who should know how to rejoice and why to rejoice, it's us Christians. And if somebody asks you, what are you doing for Christmas this year? And you're like, I have nothing exciting happening. I'm just rejoicing in the Lord. I'll just stay home and have a nice meal and read the Christmas narrative and just be happy because my Savior came. And that's the message that needs to be shared around the world. People are chasing for something and it's not there. It's grasping for the wind. Have you seen a lot the amount of traffic we have in the city? You're going to see tomorrow. It's going to be the worst tomorrow and Tuesday. Where are people going? Where are they coming from? What are they doing? I remember last year, I think it was Christmas Eve, we were going home. And there was this lady with four children. Right? Now it's a 14-passenger taxi. There's one lady who has four children. Those are like two people, right? One is on back, like a four-year-old, a three-year-old, a two-year-old. And everybody's wondering, where is she going? Somebody joked that, Mel, maybe she's going to reconcile with her husband. People are shopping. You can hardly go through downtown. Hardly. People are being robbed and everything's crazy out there. You'll wait to hear how many billions were spent in Christmas cards alone and Christmas decorations alone. If we fail to soak ourselves in the depth of Jesus' love, His goodness, His faithfulness, and everything else He came to do, we'll be longing for a better Christmas and it will not show up. It will not. Only rejoicing in Jesus is fulfillment enough. I remember I came to Jesus actually around Christmas time, 2002, at the end of the year. And around that time, we were going to Dar es Salaam for university games. I was a university student. Took a bus journey to Dar es Salaam. We were there for 6 days. On our way back, we actually went off-road. The driver was trying to avoid a truck that was actually going to hit us head on. So we went off-road into Masailand. Now, if you've been to Masailand, there's nothing there apart from lions and warriors. And our journey was delayed by over 16 hours. We were there, the bus was pulled back on the road, it was repaired. And we got back to Kampala on Christmas Eve, 21st December. And tell you what, I slept through Christmas. If you've taken a bus from Dar es Salaam to Kampala, you know what I'm talking about. It's about 24 hours of travel. And all you do is get home, eat, take a bath, and sleep off. And I remember waking up, I think Christmas evening, and I just read my Bible as a baby Christian. And tell you what, I was so fulfilled. I was so satisfied in the Lord. And tell you what, I was really fulfilled. Everything exciting, I had missed. But I really enjoyed Jesus. And we should all enjoy Jesus. As we eat, as we travel, as we get together, as we do everything else, it all revolves around Jesus. If Jesus wasn't born, if he wasn't coming, we wouldn't have Christmas. I wonder what this season would be. The change came with the coming of Jesus, and that's why we rejoice. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your coming and you're staying with us. Lord, the anticipation of your coming, the expectation of your coming resulted into joy and rejoicing. Lord, you came, you're with us, and we look back at your coming with rejoicing as well, singing for joy, just rejoicing in your goodness, in your love, in your favors, in your comfort, in your strength. Regardless of what happens, Lord, you are with us. Lord, we rejoice particularly about our salvation. This world would be a hopeless place for us if it wasn't you who came to redeem us. In fact, we'd have nothing to celebrate, nothing to be happy about. So Lord, rejoice. If everything goes wrong around this time, Lord, we still can rejoice. And we have the privilege to rejoice, not just about this time of the year, all through the year, Lord. We are a rejoicing community because of you. So Lord, may you draw many to yourself around this time. All those who are going to be left empty and unfulfilled after Christmas, Lord, bring them to yourself. Draw them to yourself. You alone can satisfy. You alone can cause us to rejoice. So Lord, we rejoice in our hearts. We rejoice in singing. We rejoice in the meals that we're going to eat. Everywhere we're going to go and everybody we're going to spend time with. We rejoice with them because of you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a very Merry Christmas.